League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Let's begin.
This is the Boss.
I'm the Boss.
And the Gloss.
My lip gloss, I only rock clear.
On SB Nation Radio.
And SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Here are your hosts, David Gal and Carla Dawson.
I got that.
It is amazing as we sit here. Pete Prisco is sort of doubling down. He is still contending that the Cardinals will not take Kyler Murray, that they're going to go with Nick Bosa. We shall see. Very fun. You know, last week we missed one of the biggest stories since we were not here, Tiger Woods winning the Masters. Were you excited for him and what that means for the game of golf?
If you had asked me 2 weeks prior, I would say, no, he needs to pay more penance. Right. But, you know, I was rooting for him.
Right.
I was all in. And when I saw that look on his face, when everyone went in the water at 12 on Sunday and he didn't, I saw that my foot's on your jugular and it's just going to smash down further.
Right.
I just saw that look on his face. He was going for it. And I was all in. I was cheering for him.
Well, different people reacted
dynamic.
Differently. Trey Little, who's, well, he's a man who...
Is he a good friend?
Well, he bet his wife. He wanted the name of his son to be...
He bet his wife?
Well, he bet his
that was
wife.
The wager.
No. He bet his wife that he got the rights to name his son Tiger. They're having a child. He wanted to name the child Tiger. He and his wife made a bet. The bet was, if Tiger wins the Masters, we're naming our child Tiger Little. And he did so. So Tiger Little will be born imminently. And, well, it's exciting. I mean, I don't know that I've never named my children after anybody famous, but that's a big deal. Would you name your child Tiger?
If it was a girl or a boy?
Well,
and is there a sex selection here for your friend?
If it's a girl, you go Putty Cat.
You don't go Tigress?
Tigress.
That's kind of cool.
That's something, yes. Reminds me of those old James Bond characters. Remember Octopussy? She was the villainess in one of the movies.
You know.
I watched those movies.
Yes. That, thank you, Jose.
That didn't go over very well.
Well, you got your sound and, you know, your sound bite. Since I'm kind of winning on those today, Jose Bites, I got them.
You got them.
Yep. I'm up 2-1.
Two to one. All right. When
got
we return,
ground to cover.
We're going to take a look at what is going on with Oklahoma City and Russell Westbrook when we return on SB Nation Radio.
Is the Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
Okay, one of the surprises to me thus far in the NBA playoffs has been how poorly Oklahoma City has played, and in particular Russell Westbrook. I mean, OKC has really struggled. I have to give Damian Lillard a lot of credit in this series. I mean, I think that
he's looked fantastic.
He's looked really sharp. Portland's backcourt's outstanding.
Yep. CJ McCollum.
But yeah, CJ McCollum, exactly. But look at Westbrook now. He's not playing well. OKC is losing. They're on the cusp of losing the series. They're down 3-1 to Portland. And then after the games, there's Westbrook just sort of next question, not even dealing with the media. What's going on in that locker room?
Well, he should honestly thank the media for making the next question debacle become an issue, because that's not the issue.
Yeah.
The issue is Russell Westbrook and his leadership ability. Take nothing away from his talent. He is talented. You don't average a triple-double two consecutive seasons. He was the league MVP. And in fact, even in the playoffs, the last several years since Durant left, he's averaging almost a 30-point triple-double. I mean, crazy numbers. But look at this. So Durant's been gone 3 years. And OKC, Russell Wilson, that would be fascinating. And he's such a good athlete, he probably could play basketball. Russell Westbrook has led OKC to a first-round exit year one, year two, and most likely year three since Durant left. What that screams to me is, I'm not a leader. I'm getting my numbers. Good luck to the rest of the team.
Mm-hmm.
He has not shown up in these playoffs. They've had 18 playoff games, the Thunder, since Kevin Durant left. Do you know how many they've won? Quattro. That's four.
Wow.
Four.
Yep.
4-14 in the 3 years since the departure of Kevin Durant. And, you know, I've got to look at Sam Presti, who's the general manager there at OKC, and go, what's going on? You had three league MVPs sitting in your locker room in James Harden, Kevin Durant, and Russell Westbrook.
Right.
And they couldn't work. You couldn't make that work. And James Harden departs. Kevin Durant departs. Both of them playing at a much higher level than the Thunder is able to. It just screams to me, Russell Westbrook should not be your locker room leader.
So it does. I mean, all that circumstantial evidence right there. The big surprise to me was Paul George had a chance to opt out last year and return to play
shocking.
In OKC with Russell Westbrook. I wonder if he's having second thoughts now. I mean, look, this is not going to go down well. OKC is not going to – if a miracle happens and they get beyond Portland, they're going to lose in the next round. So this is a team going nowhere very fast.
Right, and unfortunately, I predict a first-round exit here too. I'm glad that you brought up Paul George because I think – we can tie in this next question, please, to Russell Westbrook's leadership or lack thereof.
Yeah.
I feel like he is a bit of, I mean, obviously, he has been crowned the leader by OKC front office. They gave him that gigantic contract, and he is a talent. But if the talent does not bring your team to a winning level, what good is it to have that talent? And you look at Paul George, I loved him with Indiana. I think he is just one of the neatest guys. He seems like a great ambassador for the NBA, never in any trouble. And, oh, yeah, he's a baller. Right now he's injured with shoulder stuff. But the other night in the press conference, when Russell Westbrook was doing his next question business again, which I don't like that when they're asking him basketball questions.
Sure.
If they're asking you personal stuff or bringing up dirt, okay, I can see how you can pass that off. You're one of the highest paid players in the NBA, the face of the Oklahoma City Thunder, and you won't answer a basketball question? Paul George started next question.
Yep.
And they were giggling about it. And I was like, wow, you're bringing your buddy right down with you. I don't like that. That is not leadership to me. It is spilling down
into
the team.
Yeah, I don't want that to be the contagious thing that happens through the team.
That's the word.
Hmm.
So I don't know what they do, and you know who's going to be on the hot seat. It's not going to be Russell Westbrook. It's going to be Billy Donovan at the end of this season.
Yep.
They're going to take a look at him. But I think the problem starts with Westbrook.
I mean, the NBA is a star-driven league, and OKC is more committed to Russell Westbrook, really, than they have been to their coach or, frankly, to any other player. They are in bed with Westbrook. That's whom they've got, and I don't see that changing. There is an obligation, I think, for these players, particularly ones playing who are paid so well, to stand up and answer to the media. It's part of the whole role and identity and the part of being an NBA player.
No, it is. It doesn't say only answer them when you've won. You don't have to answer questions when you lose. Now, he doesn't have to be loquacious, but answer the question. This next question stuff is baloney. And now I wonder, with people seeing this, and I want to ask your opinion, David. So now do you look at Kevin Durant leaving? Do you still think that was a tool move for Kevin Durant to do in the way he did it? Or do you have a better understanding thinking, oh, man, he and James saw what this guy's about, that they're not going to win with him?
Yeah.
I don't know. Tell me.
I have no problem with what Kevin Durant did. And, in fact, if I were Kevin Durant, I think the idea of playing with a great team of players on a really team-based organization like the Warriors, I get it. He's won his championships. If I were writing Durant's narrative now, I'd love to see him step out to another franchise. I think it'd be good for the NBA. I'd love to see him play for another place and try to be more of a leader. He's always been an exceptional player, but let's see him step
leads
into
with his
the
play,
leadership
but you want to see him lead
I'd love
in
to
the
see him
locker
lead.
Room.
I'd love to see him be the face of a franchise And I think, as I said, it'd be good for the NBA to spread that kind of talent. I mean, he is one of the top five basketball players
of
in
all
the world
time.
Right now. Mm-hmm. And I might not say in the
– Maybe all not
time,
all time.
I certainly
but
would
I say
in
saying.
The NBA right now, when you look at your top five, he's certainly on that list. And so I'd love to see him go to another team and then let the chip fall where they may. I mean, the whispers are that Durant will go to the Knicks. That would be a really intriguing twist and storyline. Let's send Durant to the Knicks. The Knicks have a lottery pick. See who else goes there. Maybe somebody like, a Jimmy Butler shows up in New York if Durant
Kawhi
were there.
Kawhi Leonard, possibly.
Kawhi Leonard. I mean, this is going to be an extraordinary offseason for the NBA. So it would be really exciting to see that. I'd love to see Durant do that. You go back to that OKC team and the three that they had. Right now, of course, James Harden.
James Harden was coming off the bench when they were all together.
I mean, it's
how
just
about that?
Ridiculous the talent they had. In fact, when you look back at it, if that's an historic level of talent, I mean, there are other triplets that have been at that level, but that as a triplet
three
group,
league MVPs,
that's really an exceptional group. Harden, of course, had come to the Rockets this year. Let's look at Harden this year. Is Harden your MVP choice? I mean, a lot of people want to go with the Greek Freak this year. The MVP of this season, who do you have this year?
I'm going to have to go with James Harden again. I'm just in purely looking at the numbers.
Yeah.
Because both teams are at the top. Well, yes, they're at the top of their conferences. I mean, the Rockets are number four seed. But what he has done single-handedly putting that team on his back is pretty amazing. Although I can say the same about the Greek Freak. But the numbers are a bit better for Harden. Oh, gosh. I don't know. That's tough. My edge, purely with the numbers, is to Harden. But honestly, as you like to see the talent spread out in the league, I like to see the awards spread out. So maybe it would be cool for Giannis to get it.
Well, I think the NBA has a little bit of a history of giving the award to somebody, another person they want to anoint as a star. I mean, otherwise, if you go back the last 10 years, LeBron would have more MVP trophies. I mean, he has been the MVP, but he hasn't won the award every year. They always wanted this circulated around, show some love
to more
guys.
Well, that's debatable.
I know. As I said that, I saw her scowl. For those who can't see her right now, if I throw out
RBF?
Yeah, you know,
it's
there.
Not good. Not good.
Maybe not. But all right, on that note, we'll move along. We'll give you a chance to recover from my positive comment about LeBron over history.
Oh, no, he's fantastic. But, you know, you look at who won them. I'm hard to debate that.
Fair enough. All right, when we return, we're going to be joined by Tony Pauline of DraftAnalyst.com, and we will get to ask him about all things NFL draft, including we will ask him, where are all the wide receivers? I mean, DK Metcalf, Marquise Brown. Those are the only two I've got in my mock in the first round. What happened this year to the wide receivers? And will there be a good offensive lineman left for the Texans when they pick at number 23?
Ooh, I want to hear.
Tony Pauline of DraftAnalyst.com when we return.
This is The Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
All right, Carla, I want you to thank O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Now, joining us on the Progressive Insurance Guest Line, Progressive makes it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. And on the guest line is Tony Pauline of DraftAnalyst.com. Tony, welcome into the show. You're on with David and Carla.
Thanks for having me.
I bet you're a little busy this week, Tony. I just have a feeling.
I believe this is my eighth interview today. It's my last interview for the day, and then get up and start all over tomorrow morning. But, yeah, it's been kind of crazy, and it's only Monday.
You're the man of the moment. Congratulations.
that's fine. Just as long as I'm getting paid for it. That's cool.
That's right. Tony Pauline of DraftAnalyst.com. Okay, so the big headline, Pete Prisco says, no, the Cardinals aren't going to take Kyler Murray. Do you believe that?
No, I don't.
Yeah.
In fact, I still think it would be a bigger surprise if the Arizona Cardinals go in the direction other than Kyler Murray. I had someone tell me earlier today that they think it's a done deal, that they think that they really cannot turn back to Josh Rosen at this point in time.
Sure.
And then you have to ask yourself, you know, how is Josh Rosen going to fit a Cliff Kingsbury type of offense. Not that Cliff Kingsbury's type of offense is going to fit the NFL, but you know, how is Josh Rosen going to fit into that offense? So, you know, do I think it's set in stone? Absolutely not. But I think it's a bigger surprise. It would be a bigger surprise if they go in a direction other than Kyler Murray.
Okay, speaking of surprises, Tony, are we in for a surprise at number four with the Raiders? Or are they going to do what the drafts are saying? Are they going to do a Josh Allen? Are they going to do an Ed Oliver type of guy? Or are they going to shock us?
Yeah, I mean, I think the only shock would be a quarterback, and I think the chances of that are probably less than 25% right now. I think it's going to be whoever is the best defensive player on their board. Obviously, it's not going to be a receiver. I mean, could it be a Dwayne Haskins? Could it be a Kyler Murray, let's say, if Arizona doesn't take him? That's a slight possibility, but I still think when all is said and done, while they do have interest in the quarterbacks, I think it'll be a defensive player. I mean, they've got so many picks. They could potentially get a different quarterback later on if they have their heart set on it.
I also saw that they might surprise with Devin White at the number four spot out of LSU. Do you see that happening?
I don't, but again, you know, if that's what their draft board is stacked up, I mean, what happens if Quinnen Williams falls to them?
Sure.
I think they take Quinnen Williams. You know, if the Jets can't trade out, Josh Allen's likely not going to be there, which means that Williams could be there for them. You got to wait and see. I would say, you know, if Josh Allen's gone and Quinnen Williams is gone, they could, that would be Nick Bosa's there. Well, you know, we'll have to wait and see. I would be surprised, although I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility.
We're talking to Tony Pauline of DraftAnalyst.com. Okay, so Tony, I don't know why, but my co-host here, Carla, she keeps pulling up the picture of DK Metcalf and looking at it over and over and over again. I don't understand.
Batman without a costume.
He is. He's got great abs, no doubt. But is he worthy of a top 15, 20 pick? I mean, he doesn't have great productivity in college. And then look at the receiver class overall. How do you evaluate it in the first round?
To answer your first question, absolutely not. You know, DK Metcalf is a great receiver. He's a great athlete. He runs fast. He jumps high. He probably looks real nice in a bathing suit. Not that I care. The fact is this, he's not a great receiver. I mean, he is far off from being an NFL-ready type of receiver. He runs poor routes. He doesn't catch the ball all that well. He does a lot. Even if you watch his combine workout, did a lot of double catching and dropping passes. Doesn't show great awareness. So he's a much better athlete than he is football player. And there was some talk he could slide out of the first round. I think the earliest he would go is the Baltimore Ravens, who I think have the 22nd or 23rd pick. I think really the only surefire first-round receiver is Marquise Brown of Oklahoma, who was Kyler Murray's favorite target. I think Paris Campbell of Ohio State could slide into the first round. A.J. Brown of Mississippi could slide in the first round. And D.K. Metcalf could be a first-rounder. So really, right now, I think there's only going to be two receivers who are first-round selections. It's going to be Marquise Brown of Oklahoma and somebody else.
All right, Tony Pauline of DraftAnalyst.com joining us. So we're sitting here in Houston, Texans. Texans, at least in Houston here, we all think, oh, they've got to get a good offensive tackle with the number 23 pick. Will there be one left worthy of the number 23 pick?
I doubt it. I mean, the only one who could slide down to them is Juwan Taylor of Florida, and if he does, it's because of the medical red flags that I have heard and others have been reporting. You know, Andre Williams, the left tackle from Washington State, I think he's going to be off the board early, could go to Buffalo at 9. Jonah Williams of Green Bay, he could go to Jacksonville. If Jacksonville is concerned about Juwan Taylor's medicals, he could go to Green Bay. I think all the top three offensive tackles will be off the board by the 15th selection, and shouldn't surprise anybody. I mean, look what happened last year. All the offensive tackles went much earlier than people originally projected because it is such a priority position.
How do you feel about Greg Little out of Mississippi? He had a pretty bad combine, and they didn't play to his potential in college. If you're the Texans, would you want to grab him if he's still available at 23?
No, I mean, he didn't play to his potential in 2018.
Mm-hmm.
A year ago, when the 2018 draft was completed and everyone was, you know, assembling their hypothetical mock drafts for April of 2019, Greg Little was unanimously graded as a top 10 pick, and understandably so, because he was so terrific in 2017 that if he were eligible for the draft and had entered, he very likely would have been a top 12 pick. I think that his draft stock has fallen more than anybody else's. As you said, he did not play well at all in 2018, did not do well at the combine. He did not look good in his pro day workouts. He just looks very lackadaisical, not worse than methodical. And he's a guy who I think right now is probably going to go in the middle of round two.
Wow. And so one last question for you here from me, Tony. So what players do you see selected earlier than anyone else has thought so far? You know, in the couple of days up to the draft, there's always some that move up. Who do you like?
You know, I like Cleveland Farrell. I like both Clemson kid guys, Cleveland Farrell and Christian Wilkins. I think they're going to go much earlier than people are right now projecting. They both have been terrific college players, both very productive on a national championship team. We talked about the offensive tackles before, Jonah Williams of Alabama. Well, who was the guy who really dominated Jonah Williams of Alabama during that national title game? It was Cleveland Farrell of Clemson. I think his teammate Christian Wilkins is also going to go much earlier than people right now project.
Love to ask you about the Patriots. Always interesting what they'll do. There they are at number 32. Do you see them back drafting Brady's successor, one of the tight ends? Where do you see the Patriots going?
Well, the Patriots usually have a history of actually trading out to collect extra selections. I think, you know, if a Noah Fant, the tight end from Iowa, slides down to them, if an Irv Smith is there from Alabama, I think they would definitely consider both of those guys. Both of them fit the type of scheme that the Patriots like to play, which they had so much success with Gronkowski, especially Noah Fant. I do think they will consider quarterback. I think they could surprise people and take a Will Greer. Or, you know, if they like Will Greer, they don't think he's worth the 32nd pick, they could look to trade down and maybe take Greer somewhere in the early part of round two.
Okay, so how many quarterbacks do you see going in the first round?
I think you're definitely going to have four quarterbacks off the board by the 17th pick. Kyler Murray, Dwayne Haskins, Drew Locke, Daniel Jones. I think Will Greer is the wild card. He could slide into the late part of round one, primarily to the, or specifically to the New England Patriots.
Okay, you said four quarterbacks by the 17th pick. Giants are picking 17, so I guess, well, is that the Giants are going to pick either a quarterback at 6 or at 17? Do you see the Giants getting a quarterback in the first round?
I absolutely do. I mean, if they don't take Dwayne Haskins at 6, I think what will happen is they'll come back and they'll take Daniel Jones with the 17th pick. Both the Redskins and the New York Giants like Daniel Jones. I was told it was basically a love fest with the two teams and Daniel Jones of Duke during his pro day workout, and understandably so. He's been a good quarterback for 3 years. He's well coached. He's got it going on between the ears. He sees the field. He understands what's happening. You know, people aren't wowed by what they see on film, but the fact is he had very mediocre talent around him. He didn't have the receivers that Dwayne Haskins had. He didn't have the offensive line that Kyler Murray had. And he basically carried that Duke offense on his shoulders for 3 years, a Duke offense that's not going to have anybody drafted this year.
Okay, so of those big four who are going in the top 17, where does Josh Rosen, or how does he compare to those four?
Good question. I think if Rosen was in this year's draft, he would be the number one quarterback. He was definitely the best, the purest passer. He was the guy who stayed away from the bad mistakes and the bad passes more than anyone else. His accuracy was much better than any of the quarterbacks in this year's draft, especially on a consistency basis. He was the guy who really elevated the play of everyone around him. I don't think he would have been the greatest arm talent. He probably would have been fourth after Haskins, Kyler Murray, and Drew Locke, with Drew Locke being at the top of the class. So he didn't have the great physical skills compared to those three guys. But I think when you looked at the overall on-the-field package, Josh Rosen would have been the first graded as the first quarterback in this year's draft. But then there's the off-the-field personality, which rubs a lot of people the wrong way, so which is why he was eventually the fourth quarterback taken on last year's draft.
All right, that's Tony Pauline of DraftAnalyst.com. Go read him at DraftAnalyst.com. Tony, thanks so much for joining us here on SB Nation Radio.
Thanks for having me.
really interesting to see how these quarterbacks will unfold, and always great to get Tony Pauline on the air with us.
Yeah, it's exciting. I love his thoughts about Daniel Jones, that he really didn't have targets, so it's tough to evaluate when you don't have the pieces around you, so we'll see how that happens.
The He Said, She Said segment coming up next here on SB Nation Radio.
Is the Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
Hey, Carla, can I brag for just a minute about myself?
Yes, I'll let you.
Thank you very much. I ran 4 miles this weekend.
Oh, here we go.
Yes, no, it was fantastic. I ran 4 miles, and that's the really
exciting. 10 minutes?
No, it took me a little bit longer. I won't mention how fast I ran or how slow I ran, but I will mention that I'm awfully sore. I've got, my legs are beat up. I can feel pain up and down my legs, and I don't know what to do about it.
Let me just tell you this. Here's what we know on the Boss and the Gloss. Nobody blew emus like we blew emu.
I'm going to say
that's
so.
That's your answer.
Blew emu?
Blew emu.
What will it do
Look
for
no
me?
Look no further.
It'll fix me?
It's going to fix you, and I'm not going to have to smell you. I'm sitting an arm length from you. I don't want any menthol business coming up in my nose.
Really?
No, thank you.
Blue Emu does not smell, and it's the number one smelling emu oil brand in America. It's made in America. It works. I'm going to put it on my legs, and I will feel much better.
And I'm going to check in with you next week because it could take 30 seconds off your PR. Do you know what PR is?
No, and I...
Personal record.
Oh, that's good.
It's a runner's term.
Oh, yes. I'm sure I'll run 4 miles much faster. Much, much faster.
Go grab your blue emu. It's going to solve all kinds of problems.
All right. Let's go to the He Said, She Said segment. This is where we look at what sports luminaries have said during the course of the week. We offer our own commentary. And let's begin with somebody who did not want to answer many questions. Russell Westbrook of OKC. He's been the talk of the postseason for all the wrong reasons. Here's his latest exchange with the Oklahoma media.
Barry Trammell with the Oklahoma. And Russell, the first half, both teams struggled offensively. It was a sort of a slug of a game. Both teams got going in the second half. What happened that sort of reversed the tone of this game?
Next question.
Yeah, Russ, the fourth quarter, you got a 15-point lead. They catch up. What happened the last 6, 7, 8 minutes that reversed the momentum and let you guys burst back away?
Question.
What is this next question?
I got two words for him.
Yeah.
Man up.
Well said.
Man up. If you're going to make $200 million, man up and answer a question about basketball. And you know what? He doesn't have a good relationship with that Barry Trammell. He doesn't like him. Doesn't matter. Barry's trying to do his job. He asked a fair basketball question. It was not leading. It was what happened. Answer it. I really, that does not... If that's the leader of your team in the face of your franchise, all you have to know is next question. I don't like it. Do you?
Nope. I'm agreeing with you on that one. Mm. I'm with you. Let's go to number two. Athletes do all kinds of crazy things to get out of slumps. Klay Thompson of the Warriors has his own routine. Is this one of the most bizarre? Let's listen.
Oh, man. I did a couple things. I didn't think I had bad games, but I didn't have any big games. I told Jonas yesterday, we went to the beach, played some volleyball. I'm like, yo, I'm just going to go jump in the ocean. I just know that will reset my mind, and it worked. So I don't know if I'm going to jump up north because it's freezing, but something I'll definitely contemplate if I don't shoot the ball that well the rest of the year. But hopefully that doesn't happen.
I like it.
I like it. It's an easy way to get your mojo going.
Yeah, I was talking to Jose before the show. He says, yeah, he always puts a Speedo on, and then he jumps into the ocean, and he feels better.
In Galveston?
Yes.
Galveston waters?
Yes.
Well, I'm a San Francisco girl, and Clay's right. You do not want to jump in the water in Northern California. That would, we don't even want to talk about it. It's really cold. But I love it, and stay with it, Clay. I mean, look at the game he had after that.
Yeah. No, it's got him back in his
mojo.
Clay's got his groove going again. So Stella got her groove back, right? I mean, he's got it.
He was never missing his groove. I think that's the key thing to know is that he was steady, but he wasn't having a busted out game, and he had it.
All right. Boy, did he have all that mojo and all that good feeling. Well, and we alluded to this earlier in the show, but Clay Thompson and the Warriors, well, they haven't advanced to the next round, but they're keeping an eye on their Western Conference opponent, the Houston Rockets. Let's hear what Clay Thompson had to say.
We have eyes on the, you know, other teams playing, and we see Houston being up 3-0, chance to close it out. We didn't want to extend this series any longer because we know how grueling the playoffs can be. We already let one slip away, so tonight we came in with that mindset to, you know, put our, you know, foot on the throttle and not let go, because we let go on game two, and we won't do that again the rest of the playoffs. I really believe that.
Well, he is noting the Rockets with a 3-0 lead over the Jazz. They're going to clinch quickly, it would seem. And, yeah, they lost one to the Clippers, so the Warriors did. So they don't want to get way behind and let the Rockets rest and wait up for the Warriors.
No, and I think that, you know, a lot has been made of what he said, like, oh, counting his chickens before. He's not. He just said, we're watching the other teams in the Western Conference. We do not want to have what happened to us when they lost their 31-point lead.
Right.
We're keeping an eye on everybody. We don't want anyone to be super rested, because we got to get through this series. But that was a lesson learned in game two against the Clippers, losing on their home court. Eek. So, yeah, he's right.
All right, the Trailblazers faring well here in round one of the playoffs. They have a 3-1 series lead over OKC. The backcourt has been outstanding. And Trailblazers guard C.J. McCollum opened up about how hard their elimination in the first round was last year.
We got swept last year. It was really embarrassing, and everybody talked about it. It was on TV every day. I went on TV and they talked about us getting swept. We talked about me getting traded. Talked about, you know, how we can't win together. You know, all that stuff. We remember it. And we understand that feeling of going home early. You know, I was able to, fortunately, you know, able to fly to Europe and see my brother play because the season ended so early. And I told him this year I ain't going to be able to make it. So big bro staying up right now in Russia watching 6, 7 a.m. He understands what we're going through, what we're trying to accomplish. And I think our team understands what we need to do and how we need to do it so that we don't, you know, have what happened last year happen to us again.
That's what Russell Westbrook should be taking away from his three consecutive first round exits, assuming this year is going to be year number three in the post Kevin Durant era. That's a leader, CJ McCollum. Damian Lillard, the same. That stung. That 4-0 sweep by Golden State last year, that hurt.
Yep.
That is an owie. Or was it New Orleans? I can't remember who swept them. Either way, they were swept. It was ugly.
It was New Orleans, in fact.
That's
okay.
Right. Drew Holiday had a time. So there we go. I love it.
All right, let's go back to the Eastern Conference. The Celtics, despite their early season struggles, have put it together, and they won their first series, a sweep over Indiana. And as they look ahead to their next matchup, Kyrie Irving explains the Celtics are not scared of anyone.
I'm not really paying attention to who was the top team in the conference during the regular season. You know, those wins are racked up already. Those are pretty set. I think at this point, it's really about who, you know, who could beat the team in a seven game series. Like I said before as well, just the reset button. We know what to expect. We have played against Detroit and Milwaukee pretty often throughout the regular season, up and down with those guys. But now you get a chance to prepare, and now, you know, everyone knows each other's plays, and now it's just about playing great brand of basketball.
Well, with the theme that the NBA regular season is sort of too long and maybe not even very revealing, right now, to me, it looks like the Celtics are the team to beat in the Eastern Conference. Kyrie is on fire. He plays his best basketball in the playoffs, and they're getting contributions from Hayward, Tatum, Brown, Horford. They've got the pieces going. Look out, Eastern Conference.
Peaking at the right time.
Let's stay in Boston for a second and move over to baseball. The Red Sox started miserably. Awful, awful start. They've now won four in a row, including a sweep over the Rays, who are the first place team of their division, the Tampa Bay Rays. But Alex Cora says despite the sweep, there's more improving to be done in Boston.
We've been saying all along, you know, we need to get better at a lot of things, and it starts with the rotation. He grinded out today. You know, they put good at bats, but he gave us five, and then the bullpen did an outstanding job. Just one pitch, you know, and will take that pitch in any at-bats with that guy on the mound. So play good defense, run the bases well, put good at-bats, didn't stop playing, and did a good job over the weekend. But now, you know, we got to go home and keep getting better. That's what we got to do. You know, if we keep doing that, we're going to be in good shape.
Well, after all the Boston was pushing the panic button, Red Sox sweep the Rays. They're now within 5 games of first place, so they're certainly in it. David Price is starting to pitch well for them. The setback, though, is Nathan Eovaldi, the World Series standout last year, injured. He's going to go on the IR. He's got some kind of loose chip in his elbow.
Ooh, that doesn't sound good.
It's probably arthroscopic surgery, and he'll probably be back in about a month to 6 weeks. But they were just starting to get stability in that rotation. Chris Sale has still not pitched like Chris Sale. So they've got work to do, as Alex Cora noted.
And it's a long season.
Yep.
162 games. Woo!
All right, general manager of the Arizona Cardinals. He is on the clock, Steve Keim. Is he showing his hand? Over the weekend, he talked about how exciting it is to have the first overall pick.
Again, it's an inexact science, so it's a tough business. I mean, if anybody says they're 100%, it's certainly not the case. We have to do what's best for this organization. Again, I say that over and over. And then what's going to make the biggest impact on this organization moving forward and give us a chance for sustainable success? But it's fun because the first pick, it's one of those things that all these years that I've been doing this, I've always got excited about those kind of players and the big grades that you slap on them. Just you've never had a chance to get to them. But for the first time, I mean, now you're in that spot, and it's a little different. But the good news, again, on draft day, if we don't trade that pick, is we're going to have a player that we fell in love with.
Notably, he said, if we don't trade that pick, holding out the possibility that the Cardinals are not resolute to stay there and take Kyler Murray.
I think he didn't show his hand in that conversation. He showed his hand by all the trade rumors about Josh Rosen. You cannot drag your quarterback through that for weeks,
right,
and not make that big move at number one.
Yep. All right, let's go to the Giants. Dave Gettleman is making quite a name for himself. He, of course, signed OBJ to a lot of money, then traded OBJ, and that created a bit of a stir. This week, he assured the media that he will not draft for need. He won't reach for a quarterback. Let's hear what Dave Gettleman had to say.
I'm just telling you, I'm not going to force a pick. You can't draft for need. You'll get screwed every time. You'll make a mistake.
Well, that's blunt.
That's his mojo.
Yes. I mean, there he is. He's got the number 6, the number 17 pick. I think Dwayne Haskins at 6 would be great for him. But obviously he's saying, look, if I don't believe in the quarterback at that spot, I won't take him at 6. And the whispers today, at least, and there are always changes, is that the Giants are going to go with a pass rusher at 6 mm-hmm. and then try to figure out the quarterback position later in the draft, perhaps at 17, perhaps later in the second or third round.
Well, you know, and maybe when he's saying he doesn't draft for need – you know, for Gettleman, the cultural thing is critical. And it's got to be someone that can fit in that locker room. That's what he got rid of with OBJ.
So one other quote we got related to this, it came from Dave Gettleman. He's taken some heat, and it's not been an easy ride for him in New York. A lot of people wanted him to draft a quarterback last year to replace Eli Manning. He ended up with Saquon Barkley. This has not been a smooth time for him. Nate Solder was a bad signing for the Giants, and he's had to deal with that. Here he is, and he said, look, you need to trust my track record. I've had lots of success. Either I'm really good, my success shows that I'm really, really good, or I have a rabbit's foot in my pocket. He carries a rabbit's foot around. So you think he's really, really good? He had some good years with the Panthers.
I mean, he brought them to the Super Bowl in 2015, but then it went quickly downhill after that. I mean, I think he's got ownership on his side.
Yeah.
I think that ownership has bought into it's going to take time. You got to be patient. And he doesn't care what the fans think. Fans are not patient. We know that, especially in New York. They're not patient.
Well, the Giants loaded with 12 picks. So they have real opportunity this time to reset their course. We will see. When we return, we will wrap it up with well, what we learned from the Gloss over the last couple of hours. You're listening to The Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio.
This is The Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
All right, as we close out this hour, we should mention that SB Nation Radio has been presented this hour by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Okay, now I get to dive into what I learned from the gloss over the last couple of hours. Let me start with the Texans here in Houston. You would like them to take an offensive tackle, but you don't want them to reach, and you don't want them to take Greg Little as the solution.
Don't go Little.
Don't go Little. He's out.
Go big or go home. I got three from Jose tonight. Yes.
All right. Don't get carried away over there.
3-1, boss. 3-1.
Cousins, DeMarcus Cousins, he's injured for the Warriors, and the Warriors are about to face the Rockets in the playoffs, we think. You don't think Cousins' absence will be much of a factor, and certainly not an excuse if the Warriors lose.
Correct. I'm going with that.
Okay.
Matchup's better without him.
Westbrook versus C.J. McCollum. C.J. McCollum, a far better leader.
Yes.
Josh Rosen, not in the top four quarterbacks available tomorrow.
No.
Or Thursday.
Not in my book.
You put him 5, 6, 7, way down the list.
Yes.
Certainly not better than any of the big four going in the first round.
No.
The Cardinals will take Kyler Murray despite all the noise that just came out in the last 48 hours.
Sí, señor. No problema.
Okay. And lastly, we'll go to your Raiders. Though they have kicked all the scouts out of the room, they've sent them all home. Gruden and Mayock, they will not take a quarterback, but they might give us a surprise.
I would go with half of that. They might give us a surprise. Right. And probably, if it's a surprise, it may be a quarterback. And that would be Dwayne Haskins.
And you don't want them, though.
I don't want them to take a quarterback. If it's going to be one, I love Dwayne Haskins, but they've got one in Carr. Give him a year. Give him some pieces. Then let's talk.
All right. Well, right now we're going to give you Alex Gold of the Gold Standard. He is coming up next, and he will offer all kinds of pearls and wisdom about the draft on Thursday. Alex Gold next here on SB Nation Radio.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.